Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Don't you? We've got a landslide, it looks like, in favor of Romney. Apparently, the sourpuss frog, Gingrich, did not seem to take with any of the groups. In fact, if you listen to what I'm about to play for you, Newt Gingrich saying that Romney forced Holocaust survivors to eat non-kosher food, you'll understand why Gingrich is in the toilet. Listen. Listen.
Today, you mentioned Romney Care and Catholic hospitals, and you also pointed out that Governor Romney eliminated serving kosher food for elderly Jewish residents under Medicare.
Under Medicaid.
Medicaid, rather.
Save $5 a day.
Do you think Governor Romney was engaged in a war on religion?
I think Governor Romney is extraordinarily insensitive to religious freedom in America, and the Obama administration is clearly engaged in a war on religion.
No, just stop. Okay, so you just heard that Gingrich has gone to the level of saying to Jewish voters that Romney is against religion because he wouldn't pay for kosher meals. Now, let me pose a question for you. Here's the question. Who's the big government guy? Gingrich claims that Romney is not the conservative. Gingrich says he's the conservative. But if you want to look at this issue alone, Romney's the conservative because Romney said the government does not have the money to pay for kosher meals in nursing homes and doesn't have the money to pay for other ethnic meals. But Gingrich is saying the government should pay for it. So doesn't that make Gingrich the big government guy and Romney the smaller government guy? That's only one point about it. The bigger point is that Gingrich is wrong to make a statement like this. But that's why he's behind in all of the polls amongst every demographic group, Jewish people, evangelicals. We've yet to see what's happening up in the panhandle, which is the real Florida. As you well know, South Florida is to the real Florida, as military music is to a regular orchestra. They're not the same. South Florida is really South Brooklyn, South Staten Island, South Queens. It doesn't mean it's bad, but it really is. The real Floridians generally live in northern Florida. We'll see how they vote. It's a different demographic altogether. The state could be split down the center, by the way. You'd have two different states. It's the same in California, by the way, if you split California in half. But I don't want to get distracted. Today, of course, is the big day, and we see what's happening. Romney is sweeping Florida in early returns. It's certainly not over, but that's the way it looks. Early returns are showing Gingrich has destroyed himself. Romney at 46% from exit polls, which close at 5 o'clock on the East Coast, which is about 50 minutes from now. Romney 46. Gingrich, 32, Santorum, 7, Paul disappeared. And so the exit polls are showing that Romney is way ahead of everybody. But for Gingrich to say that Romney forced Holocaust survivors to eat non-kosher shows you the temper of the man and how he's not set to be president. As I said to you, Romney is a liberal. There's no question about it. He's a liberal Republican along the line of other liberal Republicans we've had who've disappointed us. True. However, on issues that are fundamental to America, at least we can sleep better at night knowing Romney is in the White House if he wins. Let's say on the issue of spies, on the issue of where was he born, on the issue of national security, on the issue of knowing the threat of Islamofascism. I would say, Romney, I would sleep better at night. On the issue of using the DHS and FBI to investigate American citizens who are just simply being patriotic, I wouldn't think Romney would use the FBI and the DHS for that. I think they would continue to use them for what they were designed to be used for. But we're living in a new world now under Obama. There is no full answer to all of this yet. We'll get it as time goes on. Now we're reading Iran is willing to attack on you. Can anyone explain to me why, if we have the most powerful military in the world and Iran is saying we're willing to attack you on your soil. We're sitting here waiting for them to set off another 9/11, and we don't attack them. Can anyone explain to me how this nation has become such a nation of weaklings that we sit here waiting to be slapped by Iran without doing anything preemptively? What kind of country have we become? And while we are talking about this, if you really want to get sick, I don't know if I want to make you sick yet, but I'm going to make you sick. I just stumbled on a story that got me so sick I had to turn it right off. In Rhode Island, occupiers threw condoms at Catholic schoolgirls. That's right, you heard me. A group of Catholic schoolgirls went to the Rhode Island State Capitol building with some Cub Scouts at a Right to Life rally, and the vermin occupiers threw condoms at the Catholic schoolgirls, and they did nothing to the occupiers. Nothing to the occupiers, who are an arm of Obama, in my estimation, an arm of the DNC, an arm of the Democrat National Committee, an arm of every illegitimate Democrat in this country. They are the ones who ran these vermin in the gutters, by the way. So that's the story. What else is in the news? I'll tell you in a minute right here on the Savage Nation. Of course, you're free to call at 1-800-449-8255. We will continue to watch what's going on in Florida, but it's pretty clear what has already gone on in Florida in the, you know, early polling, exit polls, rather. I personally, if you want what should be done, they should all drop out, and Romney should just get the nod, and he should go up against Obama, and they should support him. Because if this keeps up, there is no way Obama is going to be defeated. I said this months and months ago. Now, somebody once said living well is the best revenge. Now, what living well means is up to you. To me, it's a few people I can talk to and have a meal with, which is very rare in this world. So last night, I got to tell you, as I told you I would, a man in the street story. I go up to North Beach Restaurant. Lorenzo had been away for 10 days. And I brought Teddy in. Teddy likes to dine on Italian food. And I go up there and I said, look, I don't want any fish. I don't want any pasta. I want meat tonight. So he says, why don't you have scotto ditto? I said, what's scotto ditto? I don't speak Italian. He says, scotto ditto. It means you'll burn your finger. I said, what? I don't want to burn my finger. He said, no. Scotto ditto means lamb chops. That's how we used to say it in Italy. He said, scotto ditto. So I said, okay, then give me some hot lamb chops. So I ate these greatest lamb chops. Teddy scoffed down some veal at Lorenzo. Lorenzo just lost one of his dogs, and he was heartbroken, so he likes Teddy more than ever. And he gave him some veal, and we had a nice time. And I'm leading up to some wine here, some wine story. I bring in a bottle of my own because I had been drinking earlier the night before New Zealand wine. I happen to like wine. When I drink wine at all, I like New Zealand from Marlboro, the Sauvignon Blanc from Marlboro in New Zealand, right? And it's a little bit of an affront to Lorenzo because he has his own, vineyard. I understand that, but it's all right. He's a big guy. So he drank the wine, and he said to me, the first thing that you smell when you drink it, well, I don't know. Do you want to hear more about wine? Because his grandfather taught him in Italy how to taste wine when he was 6 years old. Here's what his grandfather said. He said, Lorenzo, you take a small sip of wine. You put it on your tongue. Don't move anything. Count to eight and let it go down from the side of your mouth into your throat. And then he said, as a young kid, he choked almost to death from it. He said, when he did it, though, I experienced it because the side of your mouth is the most delicate part of your throat. I experienced something incredible. Something incredible because it goes all the way into your throat and the side of your mouth. My grandfather used to say, you know, when you do that, it takes the pants off the wine and you really see what is there. I love the florid language of old Italy. So I'm going to give you a little more of the florid language of old Italy. You ready for more? Here's some more. They had a lot of troubles in Italy after the war. So he says his grandfather told him when he was a little boy in Italy, when they had nothing but trouble because the Nazis had occupied Italy, by the way, his grandfather said to him, everyone has a cross to bear, but lucky is the one that can keep the cross in his pocket. That struck me as such a brilliant statement to remember. I love that one, so I made a note of it. And then we talked about olive oil and this and that. I'm not going to bore you with that, but here's the end of the story because it was very funny. I ate the meal. Teddy had his meal. We had a lot of fun talking. I drank some wine. I go outside. It turned very cold. It was like 50 degrees. 51 degrees. The wind was blowing, which I love. I had my overcoat and hat on. And just guys, you know, BSing in the street waiting to get back in the car. Incidentally, someone drives me when I drink. You just should know that in case you want to send a letter to somebody. And then a man comes around the corner, an Iranian man. He's a Persian. He owns a Persian restaurant around the corner. I've seen the restaurant for 30 years. I've not gone in it. It's always been known as a upscale, you know, Persian restaurant. But I never went in it. So he says to me, did I tell you a story? He says, I know who you are. He says, you're a legend in this city. And he says to me, I said, thank you very much. I said, well, your restaurant is a legend. We exchange pleasantries. So he said to me, did I ever tell you? Now, remember, he's a Muslim. So he says to me, did I ever tell you the story that when the Jews don't eat, the Muslims starve to death? Well, we all broke into phenomenal laughter. I said, that's the funniest thing I ever heard. He was, of course, referring to the days of the Jewish holidays when Jewish people generally don't go to restaurants. So here is a Muslim guy who owns a Persian restaurant. He says, we have a saying in the restaurant business that when the Jews don't eat, the Muslims starve to death. I said, I got to say that on the radio tomorrow. He says, no. He says, you can't say it because you're not Muslim. He says, people will take offense. He says, let me say it. I can't imagine a Muslim would take offense at something that's funny. I mean, it's a good-natured joke, isn't it? Or did that offend somebody? Maybe you can call the ACLU because I told you a joke. 1-800-449-8255. I'll be right back.
Savage. Holocaust survivors, who for the first time were forced to eat non-kosher because Romney thought $5 was too much to pay for rent.
Oh, come on, Newt.
Where is Mitt Romney's compassion for our seniors? Tuesday, you can end Mitt Romney's hypocrisy on religious freedom with a vote for Newt Gingrich, paid for
disgusting.
By 2012.
This is, shows you who Newt Gingrich really is. He's the dirtiest politician I've ever seen. He's actually dirtier than... He's dirtier than the Democrats. What Newt Gingrich just did through that robocall takes the cake for the lowest political ad I've ever heard in my life. Forcing Holocaust survivors to eat non-kosher food. I've never heard anything like in terms of mudslinging in my life. I'd rather talk about wine, olive oil, grandfathers than this. I mean, we're going to give you the updates as they go along, but give me a break here. If you think I'm going to talk about Romney and I can't do it. I mean, there's so many scandals swirling around Obama that are going unnoticed because of these idiots like Gingrich. Obama exploiting the Navy SEALs. You know, for years, the Navy SEALs were a secretive organization. Nobody was supposed to know who they were or what they did, and yet we have a president using them as a photo opportunity. It's beyond comprehension. I don't think that these hippies who are inside Obama's head, the advisors, understand what's at stake for the special ops forces who carry out these dangerous missions, or the long-term strategic consequences of acting like a dumb hippie in using the SEALs for a photo op. It is beyond comprehension that this is not getting more play. The ATF scandal, Eric Holder, contempt of Congress, bigger scandal. That's what Gingrich should be talking about. But apparently Gingrich would rather rip Romney than talk about Obama. So we can talk about anything you want. I mean, honestly, I'm going to get Romney, Gingrich, Romney, da-da-da-da-da. And I'll take him. But the fact of the matter is, we got to begin with this. Vinny in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hi, sir. You know what, Savage? I don't understand it. Last week or a couple weeks ago, you were saying that you were against NDAA, but then Romney supports NDAA. He said he would have signed it.
That's right. I heard him say that, and everyone booed. I understand that. However, would you rather have Obama as president, or it doesn't matter to you?
No, sir. I'd rather have someone that is against the NDAA. And there's only
one. We understand that. Now you're going to say Ron Paul, the magic words, right?
Only person.
But, Vinny, here's the thing. Vinny, would you please be a realist? He is so far behind in the polls in Florida, he can't even win in Florida. He could never beat Obama. Don't you understand that?
I think you're misinformed. All right.
I'm misinformed. That's why I'm the best-selling author and have a talk show. You're calling from inside a padded cell, but you're informed. I'm a realist. So Creedmoor gives out coins now. Okay, they reopened it. They give him a coin and tell him, oh, come on, let's stop this. Paul is trailing by five neurons. That's all I can tell you. This guy, I don't know where in the world he came from. He could never win against Obama. It's Obama's greatest dream to run against an old cracker like this guy. I mean, leave me alone with Paul already. I don't even want to talk about it. No Paul callers. Please, leave me alone. If you love him, God bless you. That's all. Let's let it go with that. San Luis Obispo, Robbie, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I hear you talk about olive oil. I'm an old retired surgeon who makes olive oil in California, and I know you like Spanish oil, but there are some pretty spectacular California olive oils that are really, really extra virgin.
Oh, I almost drink it. I use a California or extra virgin olive oil because it's about the only certified organic oil that's reliably organic.
Yeah, we really police ourselves. The California Olive Oil Council, we have the highest standards in the world for the certification as extra virgin. And
no, I really, believe me, I'm an olive oil fanatic, and I do love, yes, I like Spanish olive oil, but the fact of the matter is there are trees here in California that are not quite 1,000 years old, but they're some phenomenally old trees. And the if they're new trees, they're made from cuttings from Spanish cuttings, weren't they, some of them?
Some of them, yes.
But, yes, and the reason I like Spanish olive oil in general is because it's a lower acid oil. Am I correct in that?
It is, but we make a very unique varietal from Italy that's also very, very low in acidity. And one of these days I'd love to get you to try it.
Let me ask you something. My friend Lorenzo of North Beach Restaurant has a vineyard. I was there when he cut down the trees and put in his vineyard. So I asked him why his oil is amazing from his vineyard up. You probably are familiar with it, Petroni oil. So I said, well, what are your olive trees from? He said, the cuttings are from Tuscany, and they're a mixture of, listen to this, Lacino, Pendolino, Moraiolo, Coratina, and Frantoio, which he says is the classical Tuscan blend. Does that make sense to you?
Those are the traditional Tuscans. Almost every Tuscan blend that you'll buy in California are from those trees. More Frantoio, Lacino, Pendolino, either Moraiolo or Merino, and there's some folks up in Sonoma that have just, in the early to mid-90s, won best olive oil in Europe with their trees.
I want to ask you, Robbie, stay on the line, because I want to know the tax implications of maybe I should open up a vineyard or go in the wine business. There are some tax benefits, I think. All right, we have network exit polls that just came to me at the Savage Nation from a good friend in the media, and they're all predicting that Romney's going to sweep. But here are some very interesting points, and then we'll go back to the other calls that we've had. Listen to this. The top issue for voters in Florida was economy. For 62% of the voters, the number one issue was the economy, stupid. Mitt won 52-32. So on the issue of business, Romney's business experience trumps the beltway experience of the man with the big belt. On electability, which is something I've raised with you before, meaning who could beat Obama, right? Electability, 45% of the voters said electability is the number one issue. Mitt won 58-33. So people in Florida know what's going on. And the issue of best moral choice, that was 17% of the voters thought that was the most important, morals. Mitt won 43-9. So on, there's no issue that, so you heard it, right? It's just that, it's as simple as that. That's the whole story. Now we'll move on because the exit polls are going to be closing in a few minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and we'll give it to you. But I'm not going to sit here like a guy day and night that telling you any minute now and double talking you. So we'll go back to some, we have a surgeon on the line, Robbie from San Luis Obispo. Robbie, you own an olive ranch and you make oil. Can you please tell the listeners, are there still tax advantages for agricultural issues such as olive oil?
There's more glamour than financial success. It's a passion, just like the wine industry. It's a unique product that reflects terroir.
So there's no agricultural write-off for owning an olive ranch?
There are, just like any other delayed production product. You have a period of time where you invest money with no returns, and you are able to write off some of your equipment. Some orchards like ours do not have our own mills, and some do have their own mills, and that's quite a...
But what if I, Michael Savage, were to invest in an olive oil farm? Would I get a tax write-off?
You would get some write-off, but ultimately it would have to be...
Because, Robbie, this is the most highly taxed state in the land, and I'm reaching a point where I may leave it because Governor Brown's proposal to raise taxes on people who are productive. You know that we pay 10.5% to 11% state tax in this state? People don't know what we're living through here. And now we have a radical leftist governor who says he wants to raise taxes by another 5% on those of us who actually work for a living. Who's going to stay here if he does that?
Well, you know, the opportunity to grow olives now exists in both Arizona, Georgia, and Texas. So those are some more.
Wait, you can grow olives in Texas? Where?
There's a very large olive grower in Texas, West Texas. He has his own mill. There's an olive grower in Arizona, and there's a new organization of olive growers in Georgia. So
amazing. I never would have thought olives would have grown in Georgia. I don't understand the climate, how it would relate to olives. But, hey, it's all interesting. I appreciate that very much. It's not a passion of mine. I have no passions other than talk radio, writing books, and playing with my dog, going on my boat, eating as much as I can without putting on weight, riding my bicycle as often as I can, but not too far. Not too many other passions, actually, in my life that I can talk about anyway. It's not your business. What, is everything a man does your business? It's not a confessional. I mean, is talk radio confessional? You're the priest now, and I'm supposed to be the guy who's confessing? You know, people think that talk radio, that they're the priest, and you're the sinner. You're supposed to talk to them through the... There's a limit. I mean, what more do I have to tell you? The funniest thing you heard today, you forgot already, was the gentleman who owns the Persian restaurant came up to me last night and said, don't you remember what he said to me? He owns the Persian restaurant in North Beach, and he says to me that when Jews don't eat, the Muslims starve to death, and he was referring to the days of the Jewish holidays in America when the Jewish people don't go to restaurants, and the Muslim folks who own restaurants generally don't have many customers. That was hilarious. Everybody laughed. Everybody laughed in the small group of guys. It was so funny. But my audience, all they want to do is Romney, Paul, Gingrich, Paul, Romney, Paul, Roe, Joe and Paul of Farganigan. I mean, all they want to do is sing the Joe and Paul song. Do you have the Joe and Paul song just for a breaker? Let me go to Sacramento. Dig up the Joe and Paul song, and I'll tell old stories in a minute. Denise in Sacramento, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. It's nice to hear from It's nice to listen to you. I'm a new listener. I've been listening to you for like maybe 3 months.
And uh-huh.
It's kind of nice to be able to listen to somebody who isn't into this Paul, Romney, Gingrich, blah, blah, blah. And it's just nice to hear something. And I just read your book.
So do you mind that I'm talking about olive oil and hanging around in North Beach and wine and food and Teddy instead of Gingrich and Romney? I can't take it all day long.
I can't either. I've been unemployed for like since Obama's been in office. And I just had to turn off the TV. I turn off.
Who do you blame? Who do you blame for your unemployment?
Well, when I was working during the Bush administration, so you know who I blame.
You weren't working for Bush, were you?
No, I was. I would be able to go to multiple jobs if I didn't like some place. If I always had my line in the water, so somebody else.
I see. So there was always an opportunity because it was a better economy. I don't mean to be rude. How'd you get the money to buy my novel?
Well, you know, I've been on unemployment for as long as I've been out of work.
All right, nothing wrong with that. Hey, unemployment insurance is a wonderful cushion for people. Make no mistake about it. It's a phenomenal social advantage to have some unemployment insurance. It's just a matter of how much there is and how long it should be. If there are no jobs, I don't know what people are supposed to do. Denise, the truth is, I don't know where people are supposed to turn if there are no jobs.
But and not that there are any jobs, but the jobs you go to, these guys want to know what you're doing when you're not at your job. It's like, it's none of your business.
What do you mean what you're doing? What do you mean what you're doing?
Oh, you know, what do you do when you're not working? Well, it's none of your business what I'm not doing when I'm not working.
Well, what do they mean? Are you looking for a job or do they want to know about your personal life?
My personal life. That's like, cool, you know, they want
well,
you.
So did you read Abuse of Power? You enjoy Jack Hatfield's adventures?
Yes, I do. I can't wait to your next one.
Well, I'm working on the next one. Take a guess who the villains are in the next book. The villains in the first novel were the hands of Allah, radical Muslims, but one of the heroes was a Muslim woman. You know that, right?
Yes.
Okay, so take a guess who my villains are in the next novel.
Well, they have to be, it's going to have to be an inside job.
Well, take a guess who our next set of enemies might be, because they're going to be in the next incarnation of, but that's a long way from now. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to Dallas, Texas. Joy, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I've heard you talk for years about how marijuana is one of the most dangerous drugs, that, in your opinion, and I have to agree with you, and I'm trying to give it up, and it's the third week, and...
You know, I'm glad you made this call, Joy, because everyone says, oh, marijuana's benign and it's a baby drug. Well, you know how addictive it is only when you try to kick it. And this is the most important discovery you've made in your adult life. It is a powerfully addictive drug, perhaps one of the most addictive of all drugs, but people don't know it because they're being lied to by numerous parties who want to keep the nation addicted. So you're asking a very important question about how to kick marijuana. The most important thing to know about any drug is you have to be wanting to get out of that life. So you've already made that decision, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm on my third. This is my third week, and the marijuana.
How many years have you smoked the evil weed?
I don't want to tell you. 20.
You can tell me. All right. I got to tell you something, Joy. It's not going to be easy. It's a very addictive drug. Okay, Lady Jane is very, very powerful, and once she puts her tentacles into you, it's not easy to get the hooks out. So are you seeing anyone to help you with your addiction?
Well, I didn't really want to go on any kind of antidepressants or anti-anxiety medication.
No, because then you're going to be addicted to them. That's what the pharmaceutical companies do. They lay in wait for you with their snares.
I've been trying to exercise more, and when I... Feel.
All right, let me give you a few hints, and then we're going to move on, because I can't do it in a nutshell, but here it is. First of all, willpower, willpower, willpower. Try to remember what it did for you. It distorted your vision of reality. It weakened you. It slowed down your mind. It screwed up your memory, okay? It didn't permit you to focus as well as you could. The thing you've got to do now is get a vitamin C powder. Do you take any vitamin C powder at this time in the powdered form?
No.
Okay. Go and buy vitamin C powder. This is going to be the best thing I can ever tell you to do. And take about a flat teaspoon of it, I'd say a half a teaspoon of it, in the morning with some juice, like grape juice. Take another half a teaspoon, flat teaspoon, in the afternoon with juice. Make certain you're getting 50 milligrams of the B vitamins in the middle of the day when your energy goes down. And that's going to help you get over the hump. That's what I can tell you right now. That's a good way to start. Remember that vitamin C crosses the blood-brain barrier faster than heroin. People don't know that. Vitamin C powder was used. In fact, the injectable vitamin C was used to get people off heroin. It's been used to get people off cocaine. Vitamin C powder, and then the injectable vitamin C, by the way, a different form of it, is also one of the most powerful anti-drug substances. The reason you hear very little about it is because it's not patentable, and the pharmaceutical industry doesn't want you to know about it, in my opinion. I'm not selling you anything. Dave in Sacramento, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, doctor. Great to speak to you. I was just going to say it's very refreshing to hear somebody talking about something other than who's going to be trying to be the next Republican candidate. I enjoy listening to hear you talk about food, wine, olives, and the Bay Area, because I grew up down there, and I really do miss it.
Well, I hope so, because I take a chance in doing so. Everyone's obsessed with the Florida primary, and we will talk about it again and again and again later and tomorrow. But at the end of the day, how much of this can the average person take? I know I can't take it. You get some information, and I'll move on. That's why I'd rather talk about the dog eating the veal. You know what I'm saying? And the wine. In fact, I'll tell you another story now, since you raised the issue. The minute I come back, I'm going to tell you about grapes. I'm going to tell you about grapes and how my friend Lorenzo had a dog, Emma, who died recently, who was actually his tester. Well, I'll tell you right now. You ready? He said, I don't look at the sugar before he picks the grape. I used to have a dog, Emma, he said. And he used to give her the grapes, and she'd spit out the grapes if they were not ripe. But when the grapes were ripe, while they were walking in the vineyards, Emma would pick it herself from the vine. And at that point, he said he'd call the winemaker and say, let's get ready. And for the next 4 or 5 hours, they would be picking the grapes like crazy. Did you hear? And so, therefore, don't underestimate your dog. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Here we have Obama just ran up another $1 trillion deficit. He's deeply immersed in scandal after scandal. Never mind Fast and Furious, guns to Mexico, the Solyndra, the other corrupt loans, loans to cronies, paybacks to cronies. And here we are letting a guy like Gingrich, the mad toad, attack Romney. Now, do I have to every time say that, give you a caveat that Romney's a liberal Republican? No, I'm not going to do it. We're talking about getting the most corrupt, divisive administration in American history back to where they belong, which is the universities. And Newt can't do it. Nobody will. It just won't happen. The only one who can do it would be Romney. And then we're going to have to pressure Romney to live up to the name. Well, I wouldn't say Republican because he does live up to the name of Republican. There are many problems in the world. The networks are going to call Romney the winner at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, which is in about an hour and 10 minutes. And that's coming up on the Savage Nation. Exit polls are coming up very shortly. 49% Romney, 33% Gingrich, 11%. Santorum, 6% Paul. Gingrich will not stop. The mad toad keeps going on, spitting his poison toxin at Romney because that's what he's paid to do by the Obama administration, who I think is behind him. I have no reason to say that other than that he may as well be working for the Democrats, and I think he is. My suspicion is that Gingrich is funded indirectly from sources that are behind Obama. Because as a K Street lobbyist, he took it from both sides of the street. And my suspicion is his consulting company will be amply rewarded later on by the Obama administration if he can defeat Romney. So that's why I think Gingrich is continuing to hang in there and getting as ugly as he's getting. Saying Holocaust survivors have to eat non-kosher food because of Mitt Romney. Crazy stuff. Just crazy. Robert in Hartford, Connecticut, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage.
Yes.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller, Dr. Savage.
Okay. What's on your mind?
Well, I don't know about these two guys, Gingrich and Romney.
What do you mean you don't know about them? Are you you're calling a national show and you don't know about them? So what are you calling to say?
Well, I don't think they're talking about principle. I want to know about foreign policy. I want to know about the economic situation of our country.
Well, Romney's winning in Florida, and the number one issue amongst most of the voters in the exit polls is the economy. And Romney's clearly ahead because he has a business background. Nobody trusts Gingrich in business because he has no business experience. That's all. Hawaii, Lopaka, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, I stand by your side on your stance against that Pokalolo, the marijuana.
Yes.
From Honolulu, and I just want to say aloha. I've been 23 years clean.
Beautiful.
It's not impossible. It's just a matter of having the ability to discipline yourself to change
yes.
your thinking.
Lopaka, isn't it true that marijuana is one of the most deadly of all drugs because people think it's so harmless?
It's devastating. It devastated three of my families. You know, I lost three marriages, and it's just devastating.
Amazing. I got to tell you, you know, it's funny you should call. It's no secret that I did smoke marijuana when I was younger. And I remember distinctly going to a Chinese herbalist on Hotel Street at some point when I was very young. And he said to me, you have to give up marijuana because it's impairing your mind. He was 100% right, and I did. I never looked back.
Exactly. You know, I had a big farm on the island of Kauai. And, you know, I regret all those years, and I just hope those people can forgive me. But, you know, it didn't take God. It took me.
It's interesting. It's an interesting statement that you made. You didn't have a metaphysical revelation. You just said, I'm not going to smoke that poison anymore. Is that it?
I woke up one day, and, I mean, you know, I had to force myself. I'm a Vietnam veteran in the Marine Corps. I forced myself to utilize my benefits to go into a 90-day inpatient treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And
Lopaka, since you're calling about something so important to millions of Americans who are addicted to marijuana and don't even understand how dangerous it is, the movies show it as something as calming as a cup of tea and nothing to worry about. you acknowledge what I've been saying. It is a very deadly drug. Doesn't it impair people?
Oh, it kills people. People don't know, but they don't tell you that. You know, it kills you not just physically or in death. It destroys your whole life. You know?
It sucks your soul out. The paranoia, the fear, the magnification of events in your life that are these distortions warp your view of the world, of reality.
You know, when I was in Vietnam, Michael, I used it there. I was in situations where I had to see my buddies die, and I had to have something to drug myself with. And then
I understand.
It helped me then when they took away my fear, but that's crazy. You know?
That's interesting that under real fearful conditions, it helped you deal with fear. That's very interesting. But in a regular life situation, it actually induces fear in people, doesn't it?
Paranoid. You know, you get paranoid.
Yes. You start to think everyone's against you and looking at you weird and talking about you.
It destroys families because the one that's not using it in the family has to deal with the one that's using it who's stealing all the money to buy it.
Unbelievable. Lapaka, you're a great guy. I'm really happy to hear from you. I lived in Hawaii for years. I love the state. In fact, I dreamed of Hawaii last night. You wouldn't believe it. I dreamed that my boat, which I currently own in California, was moored at the Alawa Yacht Harbor. And I said to my friends, why don't we get on my boat and go to Maui? What a beautiful, the ocean looks beautiful. It's a strange dream because I haven't been in Hawaii in so many years. But I dreamed my boat was there and we're going to head out to the open sea to Maui. I almost got swept out to sea in a little sailboat in 1968. Luckily, I turned it around and the wind blessed me in return. Hey, man, thank you very much for calling. You see the listenership on this show, how diverse it is? Okay, we'll be right back with the results from Florida right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The dirtiest politician in American history, Newt the Frog Gingrich, the poisonous toad Gingrich, has basically been seen for what he is. It looks like Romney's going to sweep Florida. Of course, the polls are still open. It's 7 p.m. there, you know, and at 8 p.m. the winner will be announced by the networks. But the fact is that Romney's way ahead in virtually every poll that's coming out, exit poll. 49% Romney, 30% Gingrich, 11% Santorum, 6% Paul. And what's interesting is that Romney is smashing Gingrich among his Hispanic voters, despite the lies that Gingrich put out about Romney, trying to destroy him so that Obama wins again. Romney is still beating him down there. I know we shouldn't be celebrating that much because Romney is going to disappoint all of us who are truly conservative. We understand that. And we need to win, though. We need to get rid of the most divisive, corrupt administration in American history before it is too late. So if you are in Florida and you care to call the Savage Nation and tell us why you voted for whom, you can call us at 1-800-449-8255, or we can go to any of the other topics that we've been talking about, wine, food, olive oil, marijuana, dogs, scottadito, the lamb chops I ate last night. It's not really. Everyone has a cross to bear, as you know, but lucky is he who can keep the cross in his pocket. Or the Persian gentleman last night, the Iranian actually, who owns a restaurant in North Beach, who's a Muslim, and he says to me, "Hey, Michael, did I ever tell you that the story there are is that when the Jews don't eat, the Muslims starve to death?" Now, he's a Muslim, which is very funny. I thought that was a great line, though, and called about it. Again, all I'm getting is Gingrich, Romney, Romney, Gingrich, Gingrich, Romney, Romney, Gingrich. So that's all I can do is tell you what's going on in the news world and invite you to call about any other topic on the Savage Nation. So let's go to my website and see what I put up, because some of the stories are worth talking about as well. Top left, Iran prepared to attack U.S., intelligence says. Question from a citizen to Director of National Intelligence Jim Clapper. If Iran is prepared to attack, why don't we hit them first? Occupiers dump condoms on Catholic schoolgirls in Providence, Rhode Island. The Catholics did nothing. The once proud community of Rhode Island, with virile Italians in particular, is dead. It's long dead. Instead, the rats, the vermin, the diseased minds, the lowest of the low, unleashed on America by George Soros's money, to the best of my knowledge, promoted by Nancy Pelosi, who glorified them, promoted by Obama, who owns them, they are now throwing condoms on Catholic schoolgirls without so much as a word from the once virile Italian Catholic community of Rhode Island. Shocking what this country has become. Don't know what's doing it. Don't know what explains it. Don't know how they can get away with it without being imprisoned. I haven't any idea what country I live in anymore. There are other stories on my website. I really don't want to go through all of them because some of them are so disgusting, I'm afraid to read them on the air. They're heartbreaking. Here, Los Angeles teacher charged with molesting 23 kids. A film processor gave authorities bondage-style photographs that this rat, I can't even read it to you. I'm sorry. I can't read. That's all. Did you see this story? Los Angeles teacher charged with molesting 23 kids, what he did to them? No. Okay. New York, Saul, welcome to the Savage Nation from WOR. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael Savage, Saul from Rockland County, New York. Listen,
yes,
I
sir.
Agree with everything you're saying about Gingrich. I can't stand the man's character. But I think Romney might surprise us. I think that he will be much more amenable to move to the right. At least what I keep hoping is that, look, he was a Republican in a Democrat state, in the bluest state in the country, and
yes,
he kind of made that work. So I think he can do some stuff. But I really
let's pause for a minute, because even the mainstream Gallup poll says that America is predominantly conservative. Every poll shows that Americans are generally conservative, more so than in recent than by recent surveys. So yes, Romney could move to the center right once he becomes president.
I think he will, and I really called though because of the lamb chops. That's what got me to pick up the phone.
Much more important.
I was a vegetarian for 7 years. And then one day I went home and my mom was cooking lamb chops.
Yeah.
And that was it.
That was it. That was it. Because man is a carnivore. Scotto ditto. That's what my friend Lorenzo told me last night when I said I want lamb chops. Scotto ditto, which means you'll burn your finger in Italian. I have no idea why you'll burn your finger relates to lamb chops, but apparently you eat them when they come right off the fire. And I thank you for the call. Scotto ditto. It sounds like the Democrats are burning their finger now, robbing the till. Scotto ditto. I think they're burning their finger now. They're robbing so fast. They're raking it in so fast, they're burning their fingers. They never had it so good. They're getting away with murder. Why? Because of this vicious primary battle going on between the idiotic Republicans, who should have been stopped a long time ago by their own chairman. They should have been stopped. The only reason a guy like Obama and his minions are getting away with what they're getting away with is because the people are distracted by this disastrous race that the bullfrog Gingrich has brought down to a new level. Latest results. Remember, these are small numbers of voters, by the way, in Florida. Got primary with only 0.3% of the precincts reporting. Romney, 52%. Gingrich, 25%. Santorum, 12.5%. Distant past, trailing by several neurons. Ron Paul at 8.4%. So the question is, why won't they stop already and get out of the way? Answer, they never had so much fun in their lives. Never. So what do you think about John Corzine, who gave $500,000 to the Obama campaign? John Corzine, who was the former chairman of Goldman Sachs, then governor of New Jersey. Was he governor or senator? Governor, I think. Then went on to run MF Global, went bankrupt months ago, and they cannot account for $1.2 billion. Can anyone listening to this show tell me with a straight face that they don't think that it's because of his deep connections to the Democrats, especially Debbie Wasserman Schultz and her ilk, and others in the Democrat machine, Eric Holder, Obama himself, as to why he has not yet been indicted to explain where the $1.2 billion as he was president? How could he say, how could a CEO of a company who's missed $1.2 billion say he doesn't know where the money is? That's why I don't want to talk about it. Here we go. Florida caller. James, go ahead, please. Tell us what you have to say.
Yes, Michael, you're the best. Unbelievable. My point is, I'm a registered Republican. I voted for Romney today. I believe that we have to pick the candidate that's going to appeal to the independents. The independents are going to decide this election.
That's exactly right. And Romney is certainly more appeal, more appealing than the frog, the vicious spit viper frog, Gingrich.
Biggest insider that ever ran.
Have you ever seen a man as low as Gingrich in your life? Calling, saying Romney forced Holocaust survivors to eat non-kosher food. Have you ever heard anything like this in your life?
No, and I'm a Jewish woman, and I can't believe how low he would stoop. It's disgusting. He's despicable, and it shows him for what he is. And
wait, how could you? Wait, now you got me thrown off. Your name is James. You sound like a man, but you're a woman?
No, I'm Jane. Jane, a woman.
Oh, all right, my call screen. Pardon me. Voices are very deceptive. So do you think that ad by Gingrich saying Romney forced Holocaust survivors to eat non-kosher food turned Jewish people against Gingrich?
I'm not sure that it does, really, because most of the Jewish people I know are totally liberal, and they have tunnel vision, and they're going to re-vote for Obama.
I see. No, that's probably true. That's right. They still think that the Holocaust is around the corner and that the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire occurred personally yesterday.
Exactly.
It's a terrible thing to say this in the year 2012, but we are living with certain ethnic groups that are trapped in the past. They don't even know what country they're living in, and they continue to vote as though they're living in the 1930s. There's no way of changing these things. It's not limited to the Jewish people. Many other ethnic groups still vote Democrat straight down the line. No matter what the scandals are, no matter what the corruption is, no matter what the weaknesses are, no matter what the dangers are, or what the unemployment is, they're still going to hate the Republicans. And I can tell you why, but I won't do it. The debates are destroying our ability to expose Obama for his corruption. And I will tell you, to me, and I've studied this professionally, which is in a few months, you're going to have a document on it. The publisher's going to press with it. Trickle-down tyranny is all about the scandals, one after the other, in every department that I could find. I could not find one department of Obama's that was not scandal-ridden. There's never been a document like this book, Trickle-Down Tyranny, and you don't hear anything about it from the vermin in the media who continue to have Republican after Republican, one bashing the other. That's why I say Gingrich, whether he's overtly working for the Dems, it doesn't matter. He may as well be working for Obama personally. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So, you know, you have a large Hispanic population in Florida. They're going for Romney. Why? Why would the Hispanic people vote for Romney, not Gingrich? And then you've got the other demographic groups. We keep hearing about the Jewish voters in Florida, but they're not the most important. As a matter of fact, they don't account for the largest percentage. In fact, Jewish voters typically account for 6 to 8% of turnout in Florida elections, and a much lower percentage in Republican-only contests such as today's primary. So to start emphasizing what Jewish people think in Florida is, you know, it's not that important right now. They're not the largest demographic group in Florida. The Hispanic vote is bigger, but bigger than the Hispanic vote is the Floridian white vote, the white Floridian vote, however you want to put it, however you want to split the hairs, however you want to define the demographics. And the fact of the matter is all we hear about is this ethnic group and that ethnic group and this one and that one. You yet to hear yet from the northern Floridians because their polls are still open. But as it looks right now, Romney is smashing the toad. There's no question about it. And the elderly Jewish voters who are obsessed with Franklin Delano Roosevelt's presidency of the 1930s are stuck in the past. They have no idea who Obama is. They never hear about his scandals. They never hear about his divisiveness. All they care is Democrat, Democrat, Democrat. And I'm sick of hearing of it, frankly. I'm sick of it. I'd like to hear why the Hispanics are going for Romney. To me, that's far more interesting than already the same thing over and over and over again. To repeat why, I'll tell it to you again so you don't get me wrong. The Jewish voter in Florida is not the most important demographic in terms of amount of voters. Jewish voters account for 6 to 8% of turnout in Florida elections in general. But this is a Republican-only contest. Do I have to tell you that 80% of Jewish people in Florida are Democrats? So therefore, this is almost an insignificant story. And yet Gingrich goes to the lowest possible denominator here. The lowest, forcing Holocaust survivors to eat non-kosher food. It's sickening. So let's move on to the bigger picture. The economy is the bigger issue to everybody in Florida. And yet there are those who talked about morals or family values. They also pick Romney. I mean, who would pick Gingrich for family value? If you're a family values person, evangelicals are even voting for Romney over, which I was pleasantly surprised to see. Because I was afraid that the evangelicals who don't like Mormons in general, for reasons I'll never understand, not being a Mormon nor an evangelical myself, looking in from the outside, I can't understand it. Why one Christian group would hate another or not like that. To me, it's like the Middle East. I don't understand it. It's like Ireland, the Catholics versus the Protestants. I mean, they're both Christians. And they blew each other up. It's like the Muslims, Shia versus Sunni, don't understand it. I mean, to me, talking to the Italian Catholic last night who owned the North Beach restaurant and the Muslim gentleman who owned the Iranian restaurant who told us all a joke and we all laughed. To me, I was in a mini UN. I felt like I was in a mini UN in the street last night having a laugh of my life. To me, I had one of the best nights of my life after a couple of lamb chops and half a bottle of wine and my dog eating the veal and just joking with guys in the street. There was no issue of whose race and religion. It didn't matter. It was three men about the same age bracket within a few years having a laugh in a street on it with a cold wind. To me, that's the hope for America. And to me, that was the mini UN that I was in. I don't need anyone to tell me how to relate to people. He cracked me up, that guy who owns the Persian restaurant. I got to go in there now. When he said, hey, Michael, did I ever tell you the story that when Jews don't eat, the Muslims starve to death? I can't get over that line. He's a restaurant owner. And, of course, he's referring to the days of the Jewish holidays when the Jewish people don't go to restaurants. He said, but you can't tell it on the air because you're not a Muslim. He said, let me come on the show. He said, I'll tell it so that the Muslim people don't get mad at you. I said, come on. The Muslims understand me. So we disagree on the Middle East. So what? That's all. We're allowed to disagree. You're telling me every Muslim in America gets along with his neighbor and his family? They argue like every other group in the country over everything. There's not a monolithic Muslim or a monolithic Jew or a monolithic Catholic or a monolithic Protestant. They're people. They understand me, so we disagree on some things. But on others, they like the show because I sound like their uncle or their themselves or their father. I know this for a fact. And that's the end of the story. More callers now. Again, you look up at the screen, it's like a nightmare to me. Newt, 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 Romney, 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 Newt, 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 with Newt already. Newt, Newt, what do you have to say, Newt? You know what I can't stand is I'm turning on MSNBC, and there he is again. 999 is there, hamming it up. Can he stop? Boy, am I embarrassed that I back Kane at this point. I mean, he's got to stop it and get off the stage. He's like a little girl at a wedding who can't stop dancing.
Savage.
Well, love, love, darling, come and go with me. Don't go with me, baby, yonder sea. I need you, darling, so come go with me.
World is on fire. World War III is about to break out. We have the most corrupt group of gangsters in history raping the Treasury. And we're worried about Gingrich, Romney, 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 Gingrich, Romney, 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 Ding Dong. You know, Romney's is so far ahead right now in the exit polls in Florida that to me it's very clear already what's going on. People are on to the who can win thing. Mitt 49, Newt 30, Rick 13, and Ron Paul 7. You know, you go back to when Obama was running in a primary. The Democrats, of course, had a pretty vicious primary. Remember, it was Hillary, Obama. It's hard to remember that they slogged through a primary. Remember that? Even that nut from Dennis Kucinich was in. Kucinich was the Ron Paul of the Democrats, trailing behind by several neurons. And yet he stayed in it to the end just for the because he liked the publicity. Good for sales or whatever, a book, Jell-O he's going to sell afterwards. The Ron Paul Jell-O, the special mixture. It's crazy, the whole thing. Can't they call it over already and let's have a general election and move on with our lives and take on the Iranians and get our country back? Can we get our country back from this gang? Every day I wake up and the scandals grow bigger and bigger and bigger, and we're sitting here watching this. I realize it's our system. Well, the system stinks. It's broken. The system is just broken. The political system is 200 years out of date, by the way. Think of this time and money and obsession that could be spent feeding the poor. It's unbelievable to me. I don't understand how a country can go on. We're bankrupt and we're spending. How much money will be spent on this stupid election? Florida, Derek, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I'm a Florida evangelical Republican, and I voted for Mitt Romney because the theme of his campaign is traditional family values and moral uprightness, and he can take on the Obama political machine and defeat it. When he was,
I agree. 100% right. Even though evangelicals are leery of Mormons, you saw the bigger picture.
Well, Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. And Mormons are known for honesty, integrity, uprightness, hard work, family.
100% right. I've said that over and over again. I've done business with Mormons. They're some of the nicest people I've ever dealt with in my life when I was in the herbal world. I don't know. Where are the scandals around Romney? There are none.
When Mitt Romney was governor of Massachusetts, he took on an entrenched liberal establishment run by Billy Bulger, who was notorious. And he's not getting the credit that is due him for the increments that...
Okay, so in other words, Gingrich is bringing up the negatives, magnifying them, and trying to smear Romney, which is only going to serve Obama at the end of the day.
I think Romney will show himself to be more conservative than we expect him to be.
I pray to God that you're right, and I know he's more electable, which I've seen from the beginning, and I wish the others would have the decency to get out of the way and let Romney just go up against Obama and back him so that we get a chance to get our country back from this astonishing, divisive, and corrupt regime. Thank you very much, Derek, for calling. Other Floridians are calling into the Savage Nation with different opinions. Mike in Florida on WFTL, welcome to the show. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike, how are you doing tonight?
What's up?
I think Romney and Rubio will get rid of Obama, and that's the bottom line. We need to get rid of him.
By the way, do you think it's going to be a Romney-Rubio ticket? Because if it is, he wins. They win.
Yes, I honestly think it is. I honestly think it is. So that is a no-brainer to me. If I'm in the Romney camp, it is a no-brainer, dude. No problem.
Yeah, let's say it's a Romney-Rubio ticket versus an Obama-Hillary ticket. What happens then?
Still Romney. No problem. People are tired
right.
of...
By the way, Hillary has way overestimated her power right now. The Middle East is blown up in her face. Everything she says about the Arab Spring is a lie. It's an Arab winter. It's a disaster. Everything she's touched has turned negative on her. And yet she has such a PR machine, and the press is so much in her skirts that they won't show any of the negatives of that woman.
Yep, exactly. It's disgusting to even look at it. So Gingrich needs to just go away, get lost, and let Romney...
Yes, get lost. That's right. The frog, the poisonous frog, needs to leave the pond. That's what he needs to do. So now we've had two Floridians call. Yet here's another one who voted for Newt today. Cassie in Florida, welcome to the Savage Nation. You voted for Mr. Gingrich. Why?
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking the call. I voted for Newt Gingrich. Basically, I'm a local realtor. I've been in the business about 30 years. And our Naples area board believes that Mr. Gingrich is going to bring some oomph, if you will, to Collier County. And we, our housing market has...
Hold on. Stop for a minute. He has to win the presidency to get you money in Collier County. How could he win the presidency when he's so unpopular?
Dr. Savage, we believe wholeheartedly that we had to have somebody with experience to come into the area to help us revive the county, if you will.
But wait, and, what experience does Newt Gingrich have in Florida? I'm not following you.
What Newt Gingrich has experience-wise is being a former House Speaker. He also has the experience of,
You mean the experience of taking money from Freddie and Fannie? $1.3 million. That's the experience you think is going to help you?
Something else that we're concurring with as well, but we do believe he has a little bit more experience than the opponent, and God forbid, we absolutely want him to win over Obama. Somebody.
What if Romney wins the primary? Would you vote for him?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Then we can all go away, friends. Thank God. We should not let the smears both ways stop us from keeping our eye on the ball, which is the most corrupt, divisive administration in American history. Never forget that. The debates are covering up the Obama scandals one after the other. In fact, you go to the websites today, you go to Drudge, you go to Fox News, you go to MichaelSavage.com. The Attorney General is going to be held in contempt of Congress by Darrell Issa because he's not forthcoming in the information about running guns to Mexico. This is a big story, yet the press won't touch it because they're owned by the Obama administration. They're a wholly owned subsidiary of the Democrat machine. Everyone in America knows that. That's why the newspapers are dying. I have to repeat to you what already is obvious to everybody, that the press and the Democrats are more or less the same. They're one and the same. You know, it's unbelievable to me. 1-800-449-8255. Did you hear the story about the park ranger zapping a dog walker who had two little mini dogs off a leash? And a park ranger hit him with a stun gun. One of these disgusting park rangers, these Nazi park rangers with 40 caliber guns and zappers, zapped a man walking two lap dogs. Zapped him with a stun gun. We have a police state emerging in this country. There are too many people with guns, by the way. Far too many people with guns and stun guns who've been deputized by the Obama administration. Texas Bobby, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael. I would like to comment as to why Mitt Romney has the Hispanic vote, and I believe that is because he's got roots in Mexico, and the Hispanic community has a herd mentality where they like to flock towards a candidate who they feel shares their heritage or has their best interest in mind.
That's a good thing. His father, didn't his mother give birth to him while they were living in Mexico or something like that?
It was his father, George, was born in Mexico, correct. And Mitt Romney, he was born I believe he was still born in Utah, but George Romney was born in a colony there in Mexico, and so that's where he traces his roots.
That's good. That's good. The Mexican people are a wonderful people. That's terrific that they see him as one of their own. That's terrific.
Sons, Michael, he actually does seem like he might have some Hispanic heritage. He's got a nice, darker complexion.
Isn't that wonderful to have a multi-ethnic presidency?
Oh, I think it will be great. My only concern, Michael, is in the general election, if Mitt Romney is the nominee, how would he stack up against Obama once you bring Romney Care into the picture and you have the two battling head-to-head? That kind of takes that issue out of play, in my opinion.
Well, yes, of course he's vulnerable on the Romney Care, but he's already got the answer for it, which is that he got it through a liberal state when he was the governor of a state, but when he's president of 50 states, he will have a different way to provide health care for the millions of uninsured Americans than he did in the governorship. It's a different story, in other words. In other words, when you're president, it's different than when you're a governor. You see, if he goes on the attack, he wins against Obama. If he plays defensive, he loses. If he lets Obama dominate the debates, which of course is going to happen because the same vermin who've been running the Republican debates, the same lowlife Salenterites, Wolf Blitzer, and the others owned by the Democrats, if they're going to moderate, Romney's going to be put on the defensive and he's going to lose. If the Republicans, though, put up a big enough fight and let conservatives moderate some of the debates and bring up the scandals of the Obama administration, Romney will be the clear winner. That's given that things are the way they are right now in the world. But you and I both know anything can happen tomorrow, and I believe that the Obama administration is going to go to war in October against Iran. I think they've been building up to this, and they're holding back on it. They're constraining Israel until October because they need an October surprise in that there's nothing new under the sun. And war has always been good for a politician. This president is no different than any other in that regard, in my opinion. I'll be right back.
Savage. Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Pretending that I'm doing well. My knees.
So here we have a female park ranger. You know the type, don't you? With a 40 caliber handgun and a stun gun. Hits a man, a 50-year-old man, with an electric shock gun because he wouldn't listen to her commands like a dog. And she shoots him in the back with a taser, basically, or a shotgun. He was walking two little tiny dogs. And the so-called ranger, you know the type. You've seen him, haven't you? The Bartlett pairs with 40 calibers and guns. Shot him in the back. The man was walking two little dogs off a leash. She says to him, "You stop and you give me your ID." And he wouldn't do it. And so she shot him in the back with a taser. That's the country you're living in. But John Corzine disappears $1.2 billion, and he hasn't been tasered nor indicted. That's the country you're living in. Now, you wonder why people are screaming about the one percenters. You talk about excessive force. She should be arrested for this immediately. I don't want to live in a country where a Bartlett pair with a 40 caliber gun and a taser could shoot someone in the back and get away with it. I don't care what the reason is. He did nothing wrong. So he's walking two little dogs off a leash. That gives a cop a right to shoot someone in the back with a stun gun? It's crazy. Insane. This man should sue the Park Service for $1 billion. She should be put in jail for 10 years. 1-800-449-8255. What a country. Now they're offering faster security screening at airports for a fee. They take your iris. Frequent traveler. You pay $179 a year, and you go to the head of the line. You hear this? You don't have to provide a driver's license or passport to one of the TSA geniuses. Instead, you use an automatic kiosk if you're already in the program. Fee-based pre-screening program approved by the Airport Commission in San Francisco. You pay $179, and your identification is recorded as a result of a digital chip that includes the biometric images of your fingerprint and your iris, which you're now giving to the government. You insert your card into a kiosk. You then scan your eye or your finger and let another wonderful government employee take a look at the scan of your eye or your finger. And assuming there's a match, you're escorted by a CLEAR employee, another genius, to the front of the next checkpoint where carry-on items are searched. Isn't it wonderful, the country you're living in now? The delays caused by the TSA will now be jumped if you pay $179. Now you get to pay to have your civil liberties and constitutional rights violated for the illusion of security. You pay airport fees, you pay taxes, and now your service level is going to get cut even more for people who are going to pay to cut in line. That's the government at work. Can you believe I never saw anything like this country under Obama. It gets worse by the day. Faster security screening offered for a fee at SFO. So you're telling me that a dangerous Iranian spy wouldn't be able to pay $179 and get to the front of the line and have almost nothing screened now because of this? Okay, let's go to the callers. You want to go back to that again? Florida, Romney's way ahead. You don't need me to tell you that. Every channel, every talker, every website, landslide for Romney. Now let's move on. Everything Hillary touched is blown up in the face. The Middle East is on fire. Syria is about to blow up. She's still talking about the Arab Spring, and they already want to bring in Sharia law and attack Israel. And she won't stop with a smile I feel like I'm looking at a communist Chinese dictator. She's got like a, all of a sudden, the Mao suit with her hair pulled back. I feel like I'm living in China altogether. The only difference is the food isn't as good. No, I'm serious. It's almost like we're losing our freedoms. We have the same, about the same level of national security that, excuse me, about human rights as they have in China. The only difference is the food is better in China. Eric Holder threatened with contempt of Congress because he won't give up information. It's right out of The Godfather. Here we have the Attorney General won't release paperwork to a congressional committee investigating them. That's the country under him. Iran willing to attack on U.S. soil, and we're sitting here waiting to be attacked. Instead, Gingrich, Romney, Romney, Gingrich, 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 Gingrich. So can't we just ask Newt to stop it already? Can't the nasty frog get out of the way? Can't Ron Paul go for a neuron transplant somewhere in Switzerland and come back a whole man? Can't Santorum stop being so sanctimonious and get out of the picture already? And let's see, get it on already, Romney versus Obama. Let's stop tearing old Romney down and let him give him a chance to win. The only winner here is Obama. That's all that the Republicans have achieved thus far. Knoxville, Tennessee, Florida, Miami, Sacramento. Let's go to Miami since Florida's in the news today. Denise in Miami, welcome to the Savage Nation. Who'd you vote for today?
Hi, Ron Paul, of course, the most conservative candidate and a veteran.
Okay, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. He has about as much chance to win as a chipmunk. If you ran a chipmunk against Obama, he'd have a better chance than Ron Paul. Sacramento. No, we can't take that. It's about boats. Oh, here we go. Florida Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, 10 years ago, I was in college in the depths of liberalism, and you saved me. All like all my cohorts in academia, I was an idiot and moron. I started listening to you one night, and I just want to say thank you. Today, I voted for Romney. I'm not 100% sure if he's, you know, going to be my favorite president, but I was going to vote for Gingrich early in the debates. I was buying into his whole shtick about, you know, let's keep this about the issues, and he was just this
right
night that was going to change the media bias. And he's a huge lemon, and he's a frog, and everything you call him. And
he can't be the white knight because he can't even get on the horse. Let's put it to you that way. How many times have I said that we're talking about electability? And in exit poll after exit poll, the voters in Florida who've been interviewed said electability is a factor, morals are a factor, business experience is a factor. And in all of those, Romney came out way ahead because the people are actually rational at the end of the day, at least on the Republican side in this Republican primary. I am seeing hope that the voters can actually see what's going on. The problem is in the general election, when you go to the great mass of food stamp recipients, welfare recipients, the millions of illegal aliens, and the other natural constituents of the Democrat Party under Debbie Wasserman Schultz, that's another story entirely because many of them are robot voters. They're robo-voters. They're simply robo-voters. If you could prove beyond a reasonable doubt with ample stacks of paper that Obama is the most corrupt president in history, they'd still press D. That is the problem that we're going to have to face. And I think that a Romney-Rubio ticket would win handsomely over anything that the Dems could throw at them. And it's an obvious there's an obvious reason for that one, which I don't have to spell out for you. Romney-Rubio defeats Obama slash Hillary or Obama slash anybody. And I pray to God the Republicans see that. And they don't come up with some turkey from Turkey as opposed to Rubio from Florida. I hope it's a Romney-Rubio ticket, and I pray that they win. This is the Savage Nation. Thanks for listening. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's what's on MichaelSavage.com for all of the latest news. Just hit your one-stop shop. Top right, Romney surges as Gingrich plays anti-religion card. Astounding what Gingrich is resorting to. U.S. intelligence, if there is such a thing, tells us that Iran is prepared to attack the United States on our soil. Why don't we just sit here and wait to be attacked? Don't attack them, of course. See you like a patsy. Obama's deadly new PR film. The fact of the matter is, they're asking whatever happened to SEAL Team 6 being a secret weapon. Obama's using them as a PR toy. Fed members laughed as housing bubble grew. Trump exploring third-party bid. Oh, God, I hope not. Donald, don't do it. Egyptian Brotherhood would cancel Camp David agreement. Thank you, Hillary Clinton. Democrats in Congress step up tax-the-rich efforts, even though they're amongst the richest people on the earth. Pelosi, Reid, astounding how they get away with it. Activists out weathermen who deny global warming. Okay, what can I say? It's a scam. Washington Post says Obama's the most polarizing president ever. DNC chair says, well, whatever she says is incendiary. $1.2 billion is missing from Corzine's MF Global. He's not in jail. He gave $500,000 to the Obama campaign. Do you think there's a connection? Should it be illegal? Do you think he's guilty? Jack Abramoff, remember him? He credits Savage for his prison epiphany. Let's go to the bottom of MichaelSavage.com. Los Angeles teacher charged with molesting 23 kids. That's awful beyond belief. I don't even want to read his name. If you're worried about the Mayan doomsday predictions, NASA says the world probably is not ending. No kidding. Disgraced teacher makes $100,000 a year doing nothing. Thank you, NEA. Of course, the big news today is Florida. And already we know the results. 5 o'clock, we're going to get the, we're going to get the exit polls all day today on the Savage Nation. But early polls show that Romney's smashing Gingrich. Paul has disappeared. Santorum is in the sanitarium. Gingrich is being beaten by over 20 points. Maybe we can end this now and make it Romney versus Obama. Well, we'll have to wait and see. All this and more on the Savage Nation.
This is a person who's been, the captain of the Costa Concordia has been charged with manslaughter.
Right.
And for the RNC chairman to compare the president of the United States to someone who's been charged with manslaughter shows a dramatic level of insensitivity to the families of those victims. Unbelievable comparison. I'm not going to give any credence to those incendiary remarks.
Wow, you know how much that irritates me. Well, imagine how your throat will get this winter without Pine Brothers Softish Throat Drops. That's right. I'm talking about Pine Brothers Softish Throat Drops we all grew up with. They're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors. Pine Brothers has been a trusted brand since 1870. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothersyum.com.
The toy dogs play a role that is much larger than the dogs themselves, for they are the true companion animals. They've been selectively bred for size and often for great style. Despite their small size, many of them are first-rate watchdogs, quick to announce the approach of strangers. They are intelligent, responsive, loyal little animals, and fill their job with great enthusiasm.
Yeah, they sure do. So now we have three. We have two little poodles and a Havanese named Toby. We got Teddy. We got Tasha. We got Toby. They're all beautiful. They're all beautiful. So anyway, I'm going to read you something now. The last we left off, my protagonist, my hero, Jack Hatfield, is living on a boat with his little dog, Eddie, a little poodle, 10-pound poodle, right? I want to read you something. It's a paragraph. And I want you to compare it to other books that you have read which have described the water or a bay or San Francisco. And you tell me this is not as good, if not better, than anything ever written about San Francisco. I compare this as good as Jack London's writing, if not better. I'm telling you the way it is. I don't need someone to say that. Well, I need some freako reviewer to say it. I'm telling you what it is. All right, so he gets up on the boat, and he takes his dog for a walk. And he says, this morning, however, the area was deserted, and Jack let the dog roam as he looked out at the morning sky and the bobbing boats on the marina. Jack had always been awestruck by the morning sun on the bay. On calm days when the water was flat, even a dim sun behind clouds and fog lit the surface in a light show unmatched by any digitally equipped house on earth. Think about that sentence. They can't teach you that at Harvard Literary. On calm days when the water was flat, Even a dim sun behind clouds and fog lit the surface in a light show unmatched by any digitally equipped house on Earth. Here or even in the cabin, as Jack peered out, he inevitably found himself wondering about God, creation, the meaning of life, and all those grand universal questions. In that sense, he was a spiritual man. He knew that life did not end when we died. He had seen too many deaths in Iraq to take the Nat Geo view of things. No, the earth was not created from a ball of fire. God had created the earth and the heavens. No, we did not simply expire like a fly or seagull. We were judged by God and sent into the next world, judged for the things we did and the things we should not have done, judged, too, for the things we did not do and should have done, for the things we said and should not have said, for the words we should have said and did not say. He was content to maintain his belief in an invisible God and conduct his life accordingly, and he was sustained by this faith. And while Jack himself steered clear of churches or temples, save the occasional wedding or funeral, he deeply admired those who regularly worshipped. He believed that honorable houses of worship were the moral compass that kept society on the right track. Sure, he had met some religious people who were outright bastards, but so what, he thought. Religion itself, God himself, were the eternals. Some religious institutions had their share of shame and fraud. But for Jack, they were first and foremost the core of the family, the bricks of civilization. And except for one religion, they all seemed to preach tolerance for others. All religions had gone through their phases of crusade and persecution, but only Islam still openly preached conquest and conversion, especially the radical Wahhabi sect. They were anti-women, anti-freedom, anti-America. Jack sighed, bringing his mind back to the morning as he walked Eddie back home. So that's it. What do you think about that in Abuse of Power? You think it's pretty good?
Savage.
What else do we have here? Let us go to Frank in New York on WOR. Frank, go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael, being miserable is actually the natural state of affairs for man.
That's right. You're my kind of guy. That's right.
Yeah, and you proved it many times this past week by citing Ecclesiastes. One of the first words in that book is meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And he develops that theme in Ecclesiastes from the beginning to the end. And the reason for it is because one of the lines in Ecclesiastes says that God has set eternity in the heart of man. So when you have temporal success in this world, we're eternal beings. It's not enough. Augustine said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee, O Lord." So that's the problem. And
it's also very beautiful theology. I mean, this is theologically very interesting to me. I feel as though I'm speaking with a wise man, Frank. Obviously, you're a very spiritual man, probably very religious as well. Am I correct?
Yes, absolutely. And I think
are you of the Catholic faith?
And when Michael, when you say
Frank, are you of the Catholic faith?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Very interesting. So where do you derive your peace of mind from?
Well, I'll tell you, Michael. Let me first say, your book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, is a fantastic book, and I would encourage anybody who didn't read it to read it.
It's unbelievable.
I think the mental disorder that results from liberalism is a side effect of liberalism. I believe that liberalism is essentially a spiritual disorder because liberals love everything that God hates, and God hates everything that liberals love.
Oh, Frank. Oh, this is good. This is very refreshing. This is better than eating a mint.
And I derive my peace, Michael, from God. You just go to God, whatever happens in life, whether it's good or bad. And in the New Testament, it says, He gives you the peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's true. I've experienced it many, many times in my life, and it's a truly wonderful thing.
But as a Catholic, aren't you taught that man is basically burdened with original sin?
Yes.
Okay. So even though you are born with original sin, according to your religious teachings and beliefs, there's a way out of it.
Of course. God is always the way out of it. Always. You know, I'm
well, I'm going to tell you something funny. I have this ongoing legal suit against England where I've been smeared and I can't get my name off the list. I'm like a fish on a hook. No matter which way I twist, the hook goes in deeper. It's cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars. The fake government in England that was supposed to get me off turned out to be liars through and through, as you well know. And, you know, some days it gets so bad, I don't know what to do. And, you know, when I stop struggling, you know what I say? It's God's will. There's a reason for it. The pain goes away. I completely feel no pain whatsoever.
Michael, you got the answer for it right in the Book of Psalms.
No, I know that. Well, I know that. I mean, I didn't get to this age by not having some techniques or tools to get through these agonies. Correct, Frank?
Right, of course. But, Michael, God says in Psalms, cease striving and know that I am God. Give yourself some peace. Don't let the English drive you nuts. Forget about that. It's not even important. And the level of success that you achieve in your life is staggering. Most individuals who have achieved truly great, the pinnacles of their profession, people like Beethoven and Michelangelo, were tragic figures. And those are the most creative people on the planet. I mean, that type, you know. And I just...
Frank, I have a couple of... Frank, are you a father?
No, I never.
I don't mean a priest. I mean, do you have a children?
No, I have no children.
Well, you would be a wonderful teacher. You would have been a fine father. The way you speak is so reassuring. What do you do, Frank?
I'm a musician. I'm a jazz musician.
Oh man, I should have gone in that direction. I had no way to know.
Yeah, that's an animal.
So, what instrument do you play, Frank?
Guitarist.
Guitarist?
Guitarist, yes.
So you played in clubs all your life, right?
Oh yeah, I played. Yes, of course. Many. Versions.
Did you play like in the old Lenny Bruce days, Village Vanguard, Village Gate?
Yeah, no, but no, I'm in my late 50s, Michael. So.
Oh, you're a young guy. You're a young guy.
Yeah, I'm younger. You know, a little too young for that. But
yeah.
No, I did a lot of club day gigs and everything like that there.
So you've been around everything imaginable. You've been around the drugs. You've been around the booze. The whole deal, right?
And I grew up in Greenwich Village in Manhattan, you know.
Oh, you're a West Villager.
Yes. And,
well, that was a beautiful neighborhood. It's always been a beautiful neighborhood, one of my favorites. Always loved it.
Yeah.
Always loved that neighborhood. Always loved it. Always fond of it. Washington Square will always stay in my heart. I could ask a million questions about it, but I won't because it's a little on the sidetrack. I'm going to ask you one question. Why do you listen to my radio show?
Because you have been gifted, Michael, with gifted insight. The insight that you have in life and in the world can only come from one source, and that one source is God. This is why liberals are so tormented. I have a few friends now who are atheists, and I must tell you, Michael, they're the most angriest, miserable people on the planet. And that's because they're distancing themselves further and further from God. I try to give them the gospel. They don't even want to hear it. But a guy like you, who I know believes in God, could only get you. In my personal opinion, Michael, I think you're a genius. And I think, I know for a fact that gift can only come from God, because he is the author of all gifts. It says that in the New Testament. And I'm not saying this to butter you up. Believe me.
No, I'm sitting here almost like, where's this coming from? Obviously, I like what you're saying because it's all complimentary. But there's a truth in what you're saying from your own heart, which is what's resonating on the radio. People know what's... See, they can hear the truth. You know, as Hemingway said, the truth has a certain ring to it. So I'm saying your truth is your truth, but you're not saying it for any other reason other than you believe it. But you certainly could be doing something else other than listening to this show, correct?
Oh, absolutely, of course. I enjoy listening to you because you go right to the heart of them. You know, there's no pretense with you. And
if I were a musician, if I were a jazz musician, Frank, what instrument would I be playing?
Oh, my goodness. Are you? Well, you have that stream of consciousness, Michael. So I would say probably more of a saxophone type.
Bingo! I swear to God, I knew you were going to say it. Yeah. I'd definitely be an alto sax, not a baritone sax. Where you step right in like Coltrane, the greatest genius on the horn ever, right or wrong? I mean, do you still revere that guy?
Absolutely, John Coltrane.
Right,
is fantastic.
The best, the absolute best. But he could step out of nowhere with one note and bring you right into his world of music.
Yeah, like nobody on earth. Nobody on earth. I can't say I modeled my show on him because I do words. I don't do music, and I have no facility to even read music or play music. I have no capacity for languages nor music. Would you believe that, Frank?
No, well,
Frank,
music.
You and I could talk forever over a coffee or a drink. It'd be amazing. I doubt that it will ever happen in real life because it never does. But, Frank, I'm going to do two things. One, I'm sending you a free copy of my novel, Abuse of Power, and I'd love to hear what you think of it. And I want you to give your email to my producer, who'll send it to me, and I want to start a little correspondence. After you read it, okay, you'll send him your review, and then I'll get back to you. Is that good enough? Because I want to see it. And what I want to do on the way out of this particular segment, guys, while Frank's hanging to get his number and all, get some Coltrane up if you haven't gotten it already. I mean, there's a couple of incredible ones. You know the ones I love. And girls, you don't have to be stoned to love jazz. You don't have to be a stew-bum drunk to be a musician. You can love God, and you could be a musician, and you can love God and be Einstein. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Obama's decision to not build the Keystone XL pipeline is the worst decision in the history of a presidency. It's having horrible effects with Canada now deciding to send their oil to China. Now, why would the president want that? Joining us right now on the Savage Nation to tell us about this horrible decision by Obama is K.T. McFarland, who held national security posts in many different Republican administrations. K.T. McFarland, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to talk to you again.
So what long-term effects will the Obama administration's decision to not build the Keystone XL pipeline have on our national security?
Michael, this is just a colossal mistake. I mean, if you look at energy issues, they've really dominated world politics for the last century. The countries that have had access to energy, like Britain in the 19th century or the Arab oil-producing countries in the 20th century, they've been wealthy beyond measure. Well, it's our turn now because the 21st century could be dominated by Canadian and American energy. That's oil and natural gas and clean coal. Because what's happened in the last few years is our Western engineers have developed the ability to see deep underground. And as they've looked at Canada and the United States, they found that we're just awash in oil and natural gas. They've also developed the ability to extract that oil and natural gas at very competitive prices. That's why the Canadians have extra oil now. They want to ship it to the United States. So we've proposed to build this Keystone pipeline. And yet President Obama has turned it down. He's turned down a source of cheap, secure energy that would create thousands of jobs in the United States and probably ultimately millions of jobs because of the economic advantages of cheap energy. I met with the Canadian ambassador last month, and he said, look, we've got the oil. We're going to build a pipeline. We'd like to build that pipeline south to go to the United States, our greatest friends and trading partners. But if you guys don't want it, we're going to build that pipeline west. It's going to go to the Pacific coast, and the Chinese are going to put the oil on ships and take it to China because they have the need and the interest in our oil if you guys don't.
Obviously, this was purely a political move by Obama to appease his base. Some are saying to reward Soros, who's in the natural gas business. And, of course, I heard that it's going to benefit Warren Buffett, who runs the oil out of Canada through his railroad line.
I can't figure out why President Obama would turn down a source of easy, cheap, secure energy. You know, it's a silver bullet, and we rarely have silver bullets. It's a silver bullet because it gives us an indefinite, long supply of cheap energy. It's a secure source of energy. It's a boon to the U.S. and Western economies. It's what the kick that we need to restart our economies. And I think most importantly, it gets us off of Middle East oil. Now, why would President Obama want to turn away from those three golden opportunities. I can only assume it's to appease his political base.
Moving on to Iran, how dangerous is the situation and what should the Obama administration be doing to prevent Iran from getting nuclear weapons?
Well, Michael, we've always known that there were two options with Iran. Bomb Iran and stop their nuclear weapons program, but thereby igniting a regional war in the Middle East, or let Iran get the bomb. And a nuclear Iran will lead to a nuclear arms race throughout the region. Even the Saudis have said if Iran gets nuclear weapons, they will. Well, what does that mean? It means that the next war in the Middle East, and for thousands of years, there's always been another war in the Middle East, means the next war in the Middle East could well go nuclear. So we've been searching for a third option, an option C. And when I worked for Henry Kissinger in the Nixon and Ford administrations, he insisted that you never give the president two options. You always give him three options. You always want option C. So we've been searching for that option C. The Bush administration thought that a post-Saddam Iraq would be pro-American, it would be pro-Western, and it would be a counterbalance to the Iranians. And so that's why one of the reasons they went to war with Iraq. Well, that's not turned out to be the case. At best, Iraq will be fragile state, and at worst, it'll be one of Iran's puppets. So the Obama administration came in, and they said, okay, we're going to find an option C, and we're going to have negotiations. That's been the problem. It's been diplomacy. So they tried to extend the hand of friendship. Well, every time that was rebuffed. So now we're trying in the last month or two or three, we've been trying another option C, and that's to, in effect, put an oil embargo around Iran, take their oil off the market. That's the sanctions that the United States and the Brits and the Europeans have passed over Christmas vacation. And it's, in effect, a blockade of Iranian oil, but not using battleships. It's been using the banking system. Now, the question is, will the Obama administration enforce them and impose the sanctions that Congress has just really pushed onto the president's plate? And we're not sure. The president has indicated that he's not eager to enforce these sanctions. Why? Because he's worried that if Iranian oil goes off the world market, it will lead to higher oil prices. But I think that what's happened with, again, and with this Canadian and American oil energy sources that we didn't have before but we now have, is that that could compensate for Iranian oil. In addition, the Saudis and the Kuwaitis and the Emirates have said they'll pump more oil to compensate for any loss of Iranian oil. So I think for the first time, we have an option to strangle Iran economically, cutting off the flow of oil and thereby reducing their GNP by 80%. Now, a country that has no revenues coming in is a very unstable country. And ultimately, the Iranian people are going to overthrow that government if that government is what stands in the way of them and their subsidies and their economic well-being. To me, that's a far preferable option than starting a war with Iran or letting Iran get nuclear weapons.
Do you actually think we're going to end up going to war with Iran?
I think if we fail, would we go to war with Iran eventually? Well, nobody wants to go to war, and particularly the people who have seen war, the people who have seen and served this country so nobly in Afghanistan and Iraq. And if there's no other option pursued, then we are going to face the choice between a nuclear Middle East leading the world in a far more dangerous position as even than in the Cold War, or we're faced with some kind of attack against Iran's nuclear sites. I don't think either of those are good options. That's why it's so important to really pursue, but again, to pursue ruthlessly and very aggressively, a blockade of Iranian oil. The way Reagan brought down the Soviet Union was not by firing a shot. He brought it down by economic warfare. He realized that the Soviet Union was vulnerable to oil prices, that 60% of their GNP depended upon their ability to sell oil and natural gas. So what did Reagan do? He tightened the noose. He convinced the Saudi oil producers to drop the price of oil by pumping more oil. The price of oil went from $40 a barrel to $18 a barrel in a matter of months, and it broke the Soviet Union. They were bankrupt, and they knew they had to come to terms. Well, guess what? Iran has the same vulnerability. That's why using the economic weapon, I think, makes sense. But not if you're going to do it a little bit by drips and drabs. To use that economic weapon, it's got to be done ruthlessly, and it's got to be done rapidly, and it's got to be done without exception. And don't let up when the Iranians say they want to have negotiations, when the Iranians try to stall. Continue to press, because ultimately, regime change, I think, is the only answer.
Do you think Israel will act before the United States, or will neither of us will act?
Well, Israel has made it very clear that it's an existential threat to Israel if Iran gets nuclear weapons. And what that means is a nuclear Iran, the Israelis feel, means the end of Israel. So they're not going to tolerate that. And as the clock keeps ticking, the closer and closer Iran gets to being a nuclear weapons state, and us, the West, not being able to stop them, the more likely it is Israel's going to conclude it's got to have an attack. Now, what stands in the way of that? Well, the Israelis could conduct an attack against Iran's nuclear sites, but most analysts think that they couldn't finish the attack. And at best, it would set Iran's program back just a couple of years. That's why it's an option nobody wants to take. But, you know, Secretary Panetta, just Sunday night on 60 Minutes, said that Iran was a year away from being a nuclear weapons power. And he said, with regard to the United States, Iran is just 2 or 3 years away from having intercontinental ballistic missiles that could carry nuclear warheads and deliver them to the continental United States. So this is that we've been talking about this for a long time, but now we're to the point where we have to make a decision. 2012 is the year of reckoning with Iran.
KT McFarland, thanks for joining us today on The Savage Nation.
Thanks so much, Michael. You can also check out my writings at ktmcfarland.com or every Wednesday from 2 to 3 Eastern Time. Tune in to foxnews.com and watch DEFCON 3.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
+1 800-449-8255. Let's go to the callers. Dan, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I'll tell you, when you struck a chord when you were talking about the moderate exercise, and you're absolutely right. About a year ago, well, a year and a half ago, in January of 2008, I was doing heavy squats, okay, with my trainer.
Right.
And she noticed that my right eyelid was drooping, and I had ptosis and meiosis in my right eye. The right eyelid was drooping. My pupil was small. I called my doctor. He said, "Look, that's a serious condition. You got to get to the hospital right now."
Right.
And I'll tell you what. I got to the emergency room, and later they gave me an MRI, and I had a carotid dissection. I mean, that, you know, I've all saw the move. When you're really pressing hard on doing heavy squats or any heavy movement, I was 40 at the time. And,
wow.
And I'll tell you what. Yeah, I mean, it blew out the inside of my right carotid artery.
Well, right, because your body can – look, it's common sense that when you strain your body – let's use old, simple terminology, not medical jargon, not big words. When you strain your body, you're putting pressure on internal organs, I mean, in common parlance, right? And some of those internal organs would include the vascular system. And so when you put extra pressure, internal pressure on your arterial system, your venous system, your – in other words, your vascular system, you're liable to break something, right, Dan?
Absolutely, and I did. I tore the inner lining in my right internal carotid artery. Right.
So how did immediate surgery saved you?
Well, I didn't need surgery. I needed to go on blood thinners for 9 months. I mean, and that stuff is just awful. I had to give myself a shot every day, and then I had to go on warfarin.
What were you on, Coumarin?
It's called Coumadin.
Yeah, it's Coumadin. I know how it was the... People don't even realize how that was developed. You know that I remember when I was studying pharmacology as a graduate student, I think it was a student in graduate school designed a rat poison that if you put it into the food, the bait, the rat would eat the food, and the poison that he developed was the progenitor, the grandfather of the Coumadin. It caused bleeding. The rat would bleed to death. Did you know that?
It's rat poison. Exactly, I did. And
very few people understand that medicines and poisons are only a matter of dosage. You know that.
That's exactly it. It's an old drug, and you're taking a controlled dose of rat poison.
Well, so today you've given up. The point of your story is a little different, though. It's about weightlifting and how it almost killed you. So obviously you've modified your exercise regimen.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I don't push myself. I do more cardio. I do push-ups, things with my own body weight. I do weights, but, you know, more reps, less.
Dan, when you do push-ups, Here's another one. When you do push-ups, how many do you do? Do you do till you're gagging?
No. No, I'll do maybe 25 or 30, sometimes 50, but I don't do it till I'm, why do
right.
that?
So, that's exactly right. what I'm getting at. Think of Tai Chi when you do any exercise. Think of gentle motion. Think of slow motion, easy on your body. The body's not made for it after a certain age. You're not a kid anymore.
Exactly. And even kids.
Well, Dan, you know, you read increasingly of young kids getting heart attacks today playing ball. It happens even to youngsters today because of the garbage food that they're eating. Their arteries are clogged.
Exactly.
Do you know that, Dan, do you know that famous study of autopsies that were done on soldiers in the Korean War, then the Vietnam War, and what they found?
No.
Oh, well, hold on. I'm going to tell it to you on the air. And I think maybe if I'm not, well, I can't with any certainty say it was going back to World War II because I would be making it up. But I know for sure that there was a comparison done between the deceased soldiers, the autopsies, for example, of soldiers who had died in the Korean War, and then of soldiers who they autopsied during the Vietnam War, and there was a degeneration of the arterial system, the cardiovascular system, that was dramatic as a result of dietary alterations in the American diet, rather. In other words, if you went back and you did an autopsy of guys who died in World War II, you would have found a much different picture internally that is in their arteries than you would have found, let's say, by 1952. And then you speed it up to 1969, it's a whole different story because the junk food diet had already become prevalent in America by the time these boys, God bless their souls, the guys who died in Vietnam, who had, you know, they already grew up. You're talking about guys who were born in 1950, et cetera, maybe 1950. So by then they were like, they're already eating junk food in the 50s. Back in the 40s, there was very little junk food. The diet was totally different back in the 1940s. And, of course, you go back and back and back. It's the same thing. You find more whole foods, less fat, less sugar in the diet. Right now, we have a sugar epidemic in America. And you say, well, what does that have to do with arterial damage? Well, you read the work of the recently deceased great doctor. He just died, and he was one of my heroes, but I don't think I want to put his name out and have a rush on it. You know, the guys let him live. But he wrote about the sugar disease a long time ago. He said a good many of the degenerative diseases of our time are based on too high a quantity of refined sugars in the diet. He wasn't even laying the blame on the doorstep of the fats, by the way, which is a whole other controversial area. We are fat obsessed in the United States of America to the detriment of the health of many women and children. You see families today raising children on pure vegetarian or vegan diets, and the children are suffering. They're tired. They can't focus. They're not bright. They're getting vitamin deficiency diseases, and the mothers will not give them a hamburger. Oh, no, my child's never eaten red meat. Great. Great, but take a look at your child's health. My child's never had a piece of chicken. Well, I had this experiment when my children were little, and I told you about it. There were many people back in the day who were raising their children vegetarian. I wasn't because I knew children needed a diet rich in protein, a certain amount of fat, etc. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I was totally into health at that time. You know, ground up apricots, vegetables. So don't think I was just feeding junk food. But mixed in with every meal was a high degree of good quality protein. You know, if I made hamburgers, I ground onions into them. So the long and short of it is if friends' kids would come over to dinner and my kids were eating chicken and the parent with the vegetarian child would turn her head, that kid would grab the chicken off my kid's plate. The child was starving. Now go to the women today, the young women, the skinny young women with perfect figures, so-called, the ones who look like post-op transvestites, which is the new model, let's say, for the American woman. It used to be a full-hip woman. A woman with a certain voluptuousness was considered the social norm. Today, because of various influences, which I don't have to spell out, a woman tries to look like a man who's had a surgery. These women are near insane, many of them, from a lack of nutrients such as iron. They're suffering iron deficiency. They're suffering deficiency of the B vitamins. They're suffering folic acid deficiencies because they have known nothing about food and diet. Nothing. They're not being taught anything about it. Many of them have anxiety attacks. They put them on pills. And the reason they'll take the pills is because it doesn't add any weight. It's not what they need. They need to go on a balanced diet, which means real food. So anyway, and by the way, you can be a vegetarian, don't get me wrong, if you know how to balance your foods. Please don't misinterpret what I'm saying. I wrote books on this going back 30 years ago, so I understand that. You can. It's very difficult, though. And then you have to supplement your diet with certain B vitamins, which you're not going to get from the vegetables. But people don't do that. They don't know it. But women are a special case. I mean, women are different than men with regard to things that occur in their body on a regular monthly basis. And during that phase of their month, they're losing a certain amount of iron, for example. They are deficient in iron, and it causes an energy loss. Women don't understand this, and they have to understand it. So anyway, look, this is well established in good old health books that were written, I would say, more than 10 years ago. You can't find a lot of this information anymore. And yes, I'm going to pitch you now. Buy Healing Children Naturally.
Savage.